Hello, my name is Grace, and today I'm going to talk about my experience reading and crafting The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt. So I thought it might be nice to start with a sentence from the first draft of my reflection that I actually ended up cutting in my final version. I wrote, "Both reading The Goldfinch and latch hooking a rug are an exercise in endurance." Now, I had a few issues with this sentence. I mean, first of all, exercise and endurance felt weirdly redundant. It wasn't a productive use of language. The second problem, though, is that I thought the sentence sounded quite negative. I mean, yeah, this book took me a long time to read, and this rug took me even longer to make, but I think the assumption is that it's bad when something is time-consuming. And I didn't mean it that way, but I also didn't really feel like I could control for that connotation in my writing. So I cut the sentence. Hopefully, as I'm saying it here, there's some amount of sincerity in my voice right now that makes it believable when I insist that I did like this book. I promise. When I was trying to decide on a crafting method, I specifically sought something that would be time-consuming. And I really succeeded with that. My goal was to have a craft that required both meticulous attention and some sort of reckless abandon, because I felt like that sort of paralleled my reading experience for The Goldfinch. And I was hoping for some more insight into the mechanics of how a book about unreal events can get us, or at least me, to feel very real emotions. I thought, also, that I might ask some of my friends, because I guess I was trying to gauge whether they could relate to my reading experiences or if I was sort of just heading off into La La Land. And at the time of my asking, I was really focused on everything that was going wrong in the protagonist's life, in Theo's life, which was a lot. So I framed the question to ask what book or movie had made my friends feel the most pain and why. In hindsight, that was probably the wrong question to ask, just in terms of specifying pain, because I think all sensations and emotions are uniquely individual, so I could have gotten a sufficient answer with a broader question. Of the few friends that I both have and asked, all of them made sure to specify that the answer that they were giving wasn't referring to actual pain. It was just some very intense emotion. And I think that really only proved the base point that I already knew, that everybody probably already knows, which is that the effect of an experience is inevitably different when it's secondhand. You know, reading a story is different from having the events of the story actually happen to you. But I went on to discuss with those friends why they had found that particular book or movie so effective, and that's effective with an A, sorry, just to clarify. And the general consensus was that these moments were so moving because they were in some way markedly closer to actual experience. It was, you know, that the character was relatable, so you couldn't help picturing the story's events happening to you, or that the movie was shot in such a way that you felt like you were one of the people actually in the room, not just watching it from a completely separate location. And again, maybe this is a fairly juvenile revelation. Maybe it sounds like I'm just sitting here and realizing what empathy is. But I found it to be a rewarding conversation, not just because I got to bother my friends, but because it was just a reminder that your ability to empathize with someone isn't singly decided. It can emerge from some combination of the actual situation, how you're exposed to it, and what initiative you take to care and understand. With The Goldfinch, and I talk about this a lot in my essay, Donna Tartt really does a great job of crafting her writing in a way that brings you closer to that actual experience. Her style follows the same steady stream of fragmented details that life does. But as I've written in my essay, the genre is limited. The form is limited. It can get you close to visceral reality, but never quite there. And the thing that I got to be reminded of when making the rug is that there's also a lot of agency on my part to meet the author or the novel or the character halfway. When I sort of surrendered to this idea of just reading anyways, just moving forward, it didn't leave me the space to go back and reread and pause and judge Theo. And then, of course, I did stop to reflect on the novel once I'd finished, and that did give me the opportunity to judge Theo again. And boy did I have some thoughts. But the point is that when I was actively reading, I was just taking it in. I was inherently accepting of everything that he did because I let myself be submerged in his narrative. Especially since The Goldfinch is written in first person, I think it's quite easy to just suspend your disbelief and let all of those I statements come from yourself instead, to let his perspective be your perspective. The moment where I felt this most acutely was when Theo is reunited with his child friend Boris, and Boris reveals to Theo that he had actually stolen the painting from him a while ago. Theo talks about how ever since he'd stolen it, he has built his life around this painting, even though having it in his possession was such a precarious thing, because it was super illegal for him to have, it was also a stabilizer for him in that he knew it was always there. And I think, as the reader, I did the same sort of thing. At every point in the story, I knew where the painting was, and I would hold that location in mind. It was in his suitcase, and his suitcase was with the doormen, or it was wrapped up under his bed in Vegas, or it was in a storage facility in New York. And even though I knew that at some point things were going to go completely sideways, I could feel secure in any one moment because I knew where the painting was, and I knew that the disaster hadn't arrived yet. Then Boris enters stage left and reveals that the painting, which is supposed to be in storage, actually didn't even leave Vegas with Theo. Theo's worldview shatters, and frankly, so did mine a little bit. Because Donatart has written the story in such a way that I felt like I could count on the painting in the same way that Theo did. But as it turns out, I couldn't. I think it's hard for me to sit here trying to talk about some of the insights that I gained while reading The Goldfinch because, I mean, at the end of it all, this was just an incredibly personal thing. I thought making the rug was another valuable way for me to explore my patience with the book and with Theo, but I mean, my goal with rug making was just to try and bridge the gap between observation and experience. It's not really about looking at the rug. So my concern is sort of that if you're just looking at it, which you probably are, that interaction lands on the observation side of things. It's not quite the experience. Of course, it probably doesn't help that I'm being so vague about what exactly my process was, and especially that I'm being so cagey about how long it actually took me to make. I'm hoping that you'll trust me when I say that that decision was intended as a courtesy. So if all these spoilers haven't dissuaded you, maybe I'll just recommend that you read The Goldfinch, and that you be patient with it. And maybe you'll get what I've been trying to convey here, or maybe not. At the very least though, thank you for listening. Thank you.